I found this in Ganarum. Ganarmir.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is halfway drunk David Duncan.
And this is intergalactic traitor and general nuisance, Aaron O'Brien.
And Faith Hertzberg.
What? You don't have a title?
Just Faith Hertzberg.
Come on.
I'm just me.
She's a lover of tribbles.
And it's me, just Faith Hertzberg.
I am. I'm a cuddler of tribbles.
She's the one who's behind the tribble plot.
Is that like the gunpowder plot?
No, she just it's similar
well,
to
sort of.
It's similar to what's going on. Everything that goes around Sherman's planet has tribbles. I think that just there's rings around.
I've got things to say about Sherman's planet.
Before we get into our episode, a couple things in the news just to talk about.
News. Yeah, sad news. Riker's lover from Angel One.
Yeah, Princess Beate, Catherine Montgomery, she died at 66. She had breast cancer. Kind of sad. Riker's score that we touched on so many
really
episodes.
Really, a long time ago. Was it episode 3?
From the episode Next Generation Angel One.
We didn't even talk about the episode. We just used that as a Riker score
because
we didn't want to talk about Angel One.
Yeah, we didn't even want to talk about that. But, yeah, so she passed away. It's 66. I mean, to some of the younger people, that seems old, but that's actually pretty young. That's pretty young for somebody to be dying.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
Yeah, so she had a decade-long battle of cancer.
Oh, good grief.
Blows.
Wow.
The other thing, we do have a Star Trek Beyond trailer that's officially going to be coming on before.
It's supposed to be coming on the 17th of December, and it's supposed to be playing in front of every single copy of Star Wars.
Right.
The Force Awakens.
Right. So that's cool. So we are going. I hope it's like a full trailer, not like a glimpses of things.
Oh, that would be awful. Especially
if they do that,
it would
I'm
be a waste to put it in front of Star
I know.
Wars.
Do something really cool.
I mean, like J.J. Abrams, like, okay, you screwed us over. You left. You know, to do
thanks,
Star,
Dad.
Star.
You left. You left, Dad.
And then my adopted dad, Justin Lin, is Fast and the Furious meathead guy. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Hey,
is
cool?
He gonna beat my mom?
Hey, you cool? You cool? Hey, kid, give me a fist pound, eh? Give me a fist pound. So we'll find out. We'll find out how good, how amazing, or how awful this next movie will be.
Well, hopefully it'll be great, and hopefully the trailer will be awesome.
I'm hoping
because
so
what
too.
I mean, like, okay, JJ betrayed us, like, you know, like Obi-Wan, Darth Vader, whatever. He betrayed us, and
he betrayed murder Star Trek.
He betrayed, murdered Star Trek, handed it over. But but at least he's kind of making amends. It's like, yeah, I left Star Trek, but here, let's put Star Trek right in front and center. You've got to watch that before you watch Star Wars.
Well, it's still part of his Bad Robot.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. So I mean, it's like Lucasfilm. I wonder if it's gonna be a Bad. It's gonna be a Disney logo, a Lucasfilm logo, a Bad Robot logo.
I know they do all those different things. Like, all right, we get the point. There's a lot of people involved.
I kind of hope in the open with like the horns from Into Darkness, and then they go into Star Wars theme.
That'd be funny. Yeah. So we'll get a chance. So is it basically a week from now? No, not a week from now, but. It will be soon. By the time you're hearing this...
Less than a week from when you're hearing this.
Yeah, when you're hearing this, it'll be almost a week, yeah. So So very cool, very exciting. The other thing I just want to point out, I posted an article on the Facebook page.
So facebook.com/group/Synthaholics.
Thank you for that PSA.
Yes.
About,
come join it.
Kate Mulgren talked about the new Star Trek series. I thought it was an interesting article. She talked about the possibility of... that she would like to see is an LGBT captain, which that would be very interesting. I don't know how that would exactly play with everybody, but...
A tribble captain. They don't care who they do.
Well, we get sort of a tribble captain a little bit in this episode that we're going to be talking about, but... I thought it was interesting. She talked about that, and then she also talked about just the just what you need to be captain, as an actor to be a captain. Like, she was a well-accomplished stage actress before she got, you know, put into the role of Janeway.
Shatner was also a stage actress.
All of them were, yeah.
Was Avery Brooks?
Avery Brooks was a stage actor, too, yeah.
I know Duffy Stewart and...
Yeah, they're all Shatner were. They're all very... she said... But then, on top of that...
Ian McKellen, captain.
On top of that, you need to have a knowledge of science, and she said that she had to go to the science resources that they had connected to the show, and she really...
They had science resources on Voyager?
Yeah, but she had to, like, get all the techno talk and jargon, because she said right away, says, Trek fans are going to call you on anything that doesn't seem genuine or real, you know, so they'll be like...
Threshold.
Well, you'll never let that show go. Anyways, I thought it was an interesting article. It's a Huffington Post article, and she talks as the only female captain of Star Trek speaks out. And I thought it was an interesting article. I really enjoyed it, just to see what she had to say, because you know, she's an accomplished actress, and she's got a lot. I think she's got a good perspective of what the captain would have to be.
And you can see her as Red the Angry Russian and Orange is the New Black on Netflix.
And that's a freaking amazing show.
It's good. And I saw a funny meme. Like, what are you in for? It's like, I killed Tuvix. It's the meme of her from as Red, but it's like, I killed Tuvix. I'm like,
I've been off topic. I just completely binge watched Jessica Jones.
That was good. That was really good. Did you watch that, Faith?
Yes.
Did you like it better than Daredevil?
It was a lot more palatable than Daredevil, and I only watched the first episode, but I liked it.
See, I
of Jessica Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you gotta watch the rest of it.
Oh my god.
You haven't even gotten to see David Tennant yet.
I haven't had any time, and I want to savor them. It's like that favorite little treat that you have. Yeah. You just want to enjoy it one at really a time good. And enjoy it in its entirety.
Honestly, Faith, when I was watching it, I thought, this is a kind of a superhero I think Faith could get into. She's like, no shits given.
No shits given. Bed breaking, hard drinking, wall breaking.
The only reason I watched the first episode was because the people in my gaming crew were like, hey, you need to watch this. She's kind of like you. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Exactly.
You would totally, you got to watch Jessica
Jones.
In
the first episode, I got to admit, if I was just coming in like cold turkey, I don't think I'd really latch on as quick. I don't think the first episode was very good. I think the second episode gets better. So
I mean, it definitely has a progression. It definitely gets better.
Oh my god! By the end.
Oh, like especially when David Tennant becomes someone you see, and not just in quick flashes. Good old, like he's so good.
Good old Purple Man.
Well, I planned on watching the second episode tonight. Like it's turned into my thing is watching it after we do the recordings. So.
Cool. Nice. Yeah.
Cool. Very nice.
So you'll be done with the series by the time the second season comes.
Probably, yes, yeah, that's actually what I was trying to time out, because I hate getting hooked on a new show and be like, this is awesome. Wait, I have to wait how long until the next season? Crap.
All right, so on Future Synthaholics, we'll be talking about Jessica Jones' slow watch from Faith.
Right.
In our recaps. That'll be a good way
naps
to start the show.
Naps are allowed and encouraged.
But
who's sleeping?
If it's going to be that slow, I would fall asleep.
No, it's good. It picks up. And I liked it better than Daredevil personally, because I felt like it had less problems with pacing. Daredevil was great, but I felt like the episodes were like 5-10 minutes too long, and it just didn't need to be.
I like both of them, but I like them in different ways.
Daredevil's just too brutal. Jessica Jones is
I love
calmer.
The brutality of Daredevil, though.
Pretty brutal. Pretty brutal.
No, spent time as an EMT.
A little
close to reality there.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I wasn't an EMT, so I can enjoy it.
I twitch.
But in this, our episode today, we are talking about the animated series More Tribbles, More Troubles, the October 6, 1973 episode.
Hey, we are drinking Oktoberfest.
We are. Oktoberfest. Nice. And here we have sort of the continuation of Trouble with Tribbles.
I guess technically 2 years later, since that was season two for Trouble with Tribbles.
I have to admit, I looked the star dates up, and star dates are all messed up for TOS, and they just make no sense.
So somehow this happened before the other one, even though it's a sequel, because the star dates are that messed up.
Technically, if you go back, it would happen during the third season. It happens somewhere in the middle somewhere. I don't know how, but honestly, TOS star dates just don't even
make sense.
Don't think about it.
don't think about it.
I never pay attention.
Our part two on our three-part Tribble-a-thon.
They just multiply. Just multiply.
They do. I don't know if you've noticed the way I've been naming these. They're kind of related to the guy who's directing Star Trek Beyond. So watch the titles for these three episodes.
Exciting news. All right, so basically Enterprise has been assigned to escort two robot grain ships. Robot grain ships.
It's the first time we've ever really heard of robots in Star Trek. Because robots, like...
I really dig these ships. I really think they're cool looking for robot ships.
Yeah.
I think they're... Yeah. I was like, that's cool little ships, you know, for what they are. And they're taking him to Sherman's Planet.
Sherman's Planet. That is a death trap. It's been a year, and they need new grain. The quadruplicale didn't work.
Yeah.
So now we're on to quintuplicale.
Yeah, so...
Which so is, quinto, like Zachary Quinto? Like, was this on purpose? I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Foreshadowing. So there had been a crop failure and famine on the planet, and for the colonist survivals, they are taking these two giant robot grain or grain ships to the planet to Sherman's planet. While on the way, there's a Klingon battle cruiser that is attacking a small ship. That's like a Federation scout ship.
Scout ship, yeah.
The funny thing is, they keep on going to warp. To get to them.
They go to warp 6.
Warp 6.
It's like they should be on local scanners.
And then warp 8. So they just keep on going faster.
Maybe they confused warp with impulse. Let's go to impulse 6.
I don't know. I just thought that was... I was just funny. Just Kirk kept on going, go to warp 6. And like, aye, aye, Captain. And then something happens again. Go to warp 8. Aye, aye, Captain.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, they've got to be close enough to pick up on the scanners, but whatever.
Right. So, but the little caveat here is that the Klingon ship, there's a rumor of a secret weapon that they have.
Klingons have developed a secret weapon.
And how they know this, we don't really know, but that there is some kind of intel, I guess.
They probably drew it into the dead plants of Sherman's planet. Klingon crop circles.
Guess what's waiting for you, boys?
Section 31 dropped a note somewhere by accident.
Hey, boys! Klingon's got a new weapon!
It's totally fabulous. And it's got some nice vibrations to it, if you know what I mean.
It's Sherman from Section 31. somebody put me out of my misery. All right. Anyway, so
I've got more beer in me than you. What's wrong?
I'm Irish. That's my problem.
Oh, it just goes straight to your Irish blood cells.
It goes to it. All everything leaves my brain and
Kublai Khan.
It goes into my groin area. It's a bad thing. Okay, so
this is why he uses.
Don't worry about it.
What's that?
So that's typical of most males. Don't worry about it.
I know, but it's more. It goes faster.
This
for
is
Irish
why he
men.
Goes pantsless in the podcast.
Yes, that's why I don't wear pants in the podcast. Okay, so the battle cruiser comes along and they're firing on the scout ship, and Enterprise goes to intervene, and this is where the Klingon ship puts on its secret weapon.
But in the meantime, Scotty's beaming up. The driver of the ship.
Right.
The life sign that he was able to grab. And this is the longest that anyone has ever been into pattern buffer except for
Scotty.
Except for Scotty and...
In Relics. yeah. So this guy's... So whoever they're beaming up is...
Stuck. He can't.
Stuck in the buffer pattern.
They get hit by the. It looks like a sonic wave. It's like,
called a stasis field. And it basically just negates... It seems like all the weapons and anything that
it's like an EMP, except it doesn't turn the power off. It just lets you not use the power.
Yeah, sort of like a neutron bomb. Except like, no, it still that doesn't make any sense either because neutron bomb kills all organic material.
No, it's like an EMP, except it does instead of turning off the lights, it just makes all the buttons unfunctional.
Yeah.
Because they can't shoot phasers or four torpedoes,
but the
they can't
are still
go to
on.
Warp. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't let them press any switches.
Right.
So if it was on before, it's fine.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. But
except for the engines, those turn off.
But the cool thing is, this is a cool thing I thought Kirk does. Kirk takes the robot ships and he has them. Basically, he's going to ram the Klingon cruiser.
And Spock's like, "Oh, well, you can't afford to lose this grain. I can afford even less to use the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Screw Sherman's planet, all those hundreds of thousands of people on there. Dang. Enterprise is way more important.
I'm sick of that planet." So I thought that was kind of actually clever. And while one of the grain ships are going to ram
two different angles
at two different angles to the Klingon ship, one of the Klingon ships fires and takes out its engine, but then its stasis field, its secret weapon, kind of shorts out, and the Klingon ship doesn't have any more power. So apparently this weapon just drains all the power out of the Klingon battle cruiser, and it has to take off because Enterprise is back to full function, and it can't start firing at it. Unfortunately, the little scout ship was destroyed.
Just damaged. No, scout ship. I'm sorry. I thought the grain ship.
The scout ship was, yeah, but the grain ship was damaged. The engines were damaged.
And like 10 minutes later, Kirk is like, "You still have the passenger?" And it's like, "I'm trying to reintegrate them, Captain."
So he brings him over, and they all run down, and it is our good friend,
Cyrano Jones.
Cyrano Jones. He's back.
Don't even tell me.
He's
Don't
back.
Even tell me. It was what Bones says.
Yeah, Bones can't
handle it.
And Kirk even asks him, he's like, "How did you get off K-7? You know, you were supposed to be on there for 17 some years.
I enlisted some help."
Yeah,
which is what we surmised last time.
Right, and he did enlist help, and he got this little thing called a glommer.
It's a little red, thing with really long legs, and it eats things with its anus.
Well, it eats the tribbles. That's what it dines on. So
But it basically looks like it squats on it. Have you ever seen the South Park episode where they have to like poop out their mouth and eat up their butt? That's what it reminded me of.
I didn't put that together, but now that
when
you
Martha
say it,
Stewart sits on the giant turkey.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Cyrano Jones, Cyrano Jones comes over. He comes over with a shitload of tribbles. I mean, he's like, not just on his transporter pad, all the transporter pads got like piles of tribbles. Like, was he just buried in tribbles?
That's how he's.
That's how he gets his jollies off.
They're so fuzzy. They feel good. And they purr.
Yeah, maybe he's a fuzzy.
A furry?
A furry, yeah, that's what they're called.
One of those things.
One of those guys. Anyways, so they. So then they were like, "Oh my God, you got tribbles on the ship. We have to, like, put this whole place on lockdown." But he says, "Don't worry, Captain. These tribbles are harmless."
You said that last time.
"You just pat them, just like this.
You pat them."
And they don't breed. And
so Bones takes one, and Bones, he's like, "They don't breed, they just get fat."
They just get fat. Bones, yeah, like, figured that out in a second, which in the first one, he couldn't even figure out anything about them.
He's a tribble expert by this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
He spent a lot of time studying the last time
Yes,
around.
He did. He took a lot of time. He took a lot of time to figure that shit out.
And in the darkness, he just likes injecting tribbles of random things to see what happens.
Right.
Especially dead tribbles.
Dead tribbles. "I put Khan's blood in it. Why'd you do that?" "I don't know. It just seemed like a thing to do. I just shot his platelets into it."
Time.
I feel like he's like a mad scientist in the JJ universe.
Yeah, I just like, you know.
I really hope they play to that a little bit more.
Well, and to get him onto the ship, he gave him that disease. I forgot what it was, but it was his hands
like
swelling.
Shingles or whatever.
Yeah, his hands swell up. His tongue swells up. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so.
Num-num. I don't know what you're trying to say to me,
what
Captain.
What are you saying, Captain?
He wasn't Captain yet.
So Cyrano Jones is basically put on... I don't think they put him in the brig, but they put him like in...
He gets on the bridge, so he's kind of just for Roman.
Yeah, but they put him like confine him to quarters or some place where he's not going to be in trouble. In the meantime, Scotty brings over all the grain from the once,
damaged ship.
From the damaged ship, and they must have just left it floating in space. And they were saying that it was taking a lot of energy to pull the for the Enterprise
to tractor the damaged one or something.
No, to carry all that grain. It's like we're using a lot more energy, and I'm like,
you're in space.
You're in space. It has.
It's not going to add any extra pull.
Doesn't mean anything. You're not breaking away from any. Anyways,
I mean, you're not using gas propellant. I mean, if you're using gas propellant, I could see maybe, but I mean, like. I mean, impulse doesn't work on gas.
But they're not,
principles.
They're in no gravitational, they're just in middle space. Anyways, I thought that was weird. But Scotty brought all that grain over, and they run.
It's in the corridors, it's in everything, it's everywhere.
Right.
And tribbles, as tribbles do, somehow get everywhere also.
Well, what happens is, at first the tribbles aren't eating the grain, but what happens is they run into the Klingons again. This time, the Klingons are—they want Cyrano Jones, and they're clear about the
ecological terrorist.
Yeah, he did something to them.
Nice Koloth.
Yeah, we have Koloth. He comes back again. I forgot to mention that.
Unfortunately, it wasn't played by the original actor. Actually, it's Jimmy Doohan doing his voice as well as the other Klingons.
Right, right. But yeah, I was.
I wouldn't have guessed because it sounds nothing like Jimmy Doohan.
No, it doesn't. But they run into them again. Now the second time they run into them, they're trying to get Cyrano Jones as basically because what he did to one of their planets, and because Cyrano Jones is technically a
Federation citizen, Kirk has to protect him.
Right, and let's face it, the Klingon ship is in Federation space at this point. just flying through.
I feel like the neutral zone wasn't so much a thing for Klingons and humans.
Especially, I guess, an animated series.
Well, I think that only mentioned the neutral zone in relation to the Romulans in the original series.
I do believe there was a neutral zone. They even talk about it in Wrath of Khan when she goes through the Kobayashi Maru.
Well, yes, but I'm talking about the show.
Oh, the show.
I don't think the neutral zone is established for Klingons until the movies.
No, there isn't, because right before Erin and Mercy, that's technically during the Klingon War, quote unquote. That's what I keep reading. Apparently, there must have been some kind of disputes with the Klingons at that point.
Oh wow, that must have lasted a long time, since Axanar is supposed to take place before Kirk and those Klingon wars too.
I don't know if it was an actual war, but that's what I keep reading about it.
Well, I mean, it would make sense because I mean, Kang. No, Akor references it in the episode he goes crazy. The Deep Space Nine episode where he goes crazy when he's on the on a Martok ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are still some disputes happening. At least battles happening. But I guess during the original series, though, there's sort of a peace for most of it, sort of.
Well, like I said, after the Organians...
The peace treaty.
There was a peace treaty after that, but... Still, it's one of those things that there must have been a lot of disputes in this quadrant, especially over Sherman's planet, because it was an M-class planet, and both parties had claim to it. So, anyway, so they're...
It's a terrible planet. Nothing grows on it.
Sounds like an awful place.
Don't ever go there. It's like a black hole for grain.
Right.
It's like it's not made to support life. It's probably a barely M-class planet, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really say. Maybe that's the planet we see in Star Trek V.
Nimbus 5?
Yeah, Paradise Planet or something.
They rename it after it doesn't do anything.
Right.
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
I don't know.
Since it's kind of on the border of the Klingon Empire, so it makes kind of sense if it's at that tri-way border between the Klingon Empire, Romulus, and Federation.
Right. So... just going back, so they detect the battle cruiser, the Klingon battle cruiser once again, and they order the robot ship to change course, and it's sort of going to become a decoy with their maneuvers. So the Klingon cruiser then attacks that robot ship and damages that's engines as well. So so we got two disabled robot grain ships.
Yeah. And then Kirk starts to tow it, and Spock's all like, that may be exactly what they want. And meanwhile, the tribbles are just getting freaking huge. And, like, somehow one just keeps crawling into Kirk's chair, even though Kirk keeps moving it.
It was great.
It really likes him.
It really just keeps on going.
It really likes the smell of his farts.
Yeah, it's like, Shatner farts.
But it's just so weird. Like, it's giant. It's not like someone could have put it there easy, but, like, maybe Uhura just, like, likes playing tricks on Kirk. Because every time he turns around, there's a giant treble in his chair.
I think it was Sulu.
Nobody would suspect him.
Oh, really?
So they're now towing the ship after they've disabled it, and it was one of those things where you have to worry that they're not going to be able to face the Klingons the next time because they are technically using so much energy to hold all the grain and move, and then also they're towing the other ship as well. So
they might be so vulnerable, but Kirk hatches a plan.
Right, of course. And his plan is when...
It's plan B.
That's right. And the Klingons enact plan C. Is that what it was? I don't remember. So the Klingons show up again, and they basically hit the Enterprise with their stasis field, and they're going to have a boarding party come aboard the Enterprise. But just before they can beam over, the Enterprise...
His plan B, Scotty, do plan B. And he's like, what's Captain? The one Spock told you about. Isa.
And they beam over all the tribbles, or the big tribbles over there.
Into their transporter bay, so they can't get into it.
But the transporter did not work when they tried to get Cyrano Jones back over, but it worked.
Well, they got hit by the thing as they were getting disabled. I think they waited to get disabled before energizing the beam this time.
All right.
So
maybe I missed that point on that. But, so... But these giant tribbles are now over there, and when they're having the discussions, captain to captain, between Koloth and Captain Kirk.
Kirk's like, I've disabled your ship way worse than you could have ever disabled mine. I don't think you have, Captain. And he's like, what was that? Turns around and like
giant tribbles
rolling around.
Giant tribbles rolling through the bridge.
Tribbles!
Yeah, you did sort of have like a Skeletor kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a very common thing for cartoons in this era.
But it was great. he's like, well, I don't need Cyrano Jones. I just need the Glommer. We can't make any more without the first one. I'm like, how'd you make the first one then? Why can't you just like make another? Kirk says, why can't you make another one? He's like, we can't.
Yeah, it's like
no good reason.
They're one and only. They didn't keep any of the specs either.
The Klingon scientists, they only were able to make one, and then...
They probably killed him or something.
Yeah,
like that.
They killed the guy who made the original, and it's like, oh, the knowledge is lost. We got to have this one back.
Exactly.
as soon as he got captured, they killed the guy, so they could take Cyrano Jones.
Well, and here's the funny thing is when they are down in the engine room, and Koloth tells his secondhand man, I forgot his name, but tells him to shoot the tribble, the giant tribble. Just shoot him, get rid of him. they burst into like
lots of little tribbles because. Uh-huh. Bones found out that they don't reproduce. They turn into colonies as they get bigger.
Right.
So they're just like reproducing inside themselves, which is so creepy to think about.
Yeah, there's so many things here.
It's like a triple balloon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the other part is like, how did they genetically modify him to do this?
That seems way harder. That seems
well.
Just like,
they did say it was a slipshod method. So, oops.
Yeah,
took a left instead of a right during the engineering process.
Yeah, he must have like hired the worst genetic engineer,
like one of the Zimmermans, but like the really shifty Zimmerman.
Right. Exactly. But McCoy finds a better way than just shooting him. He gives him a shot of neothylene. Neothylene, and
apparently it dissolves the host and keeps the other ones from becoming hosts of colonies.
And
Kirk's like, "You didn't get this one up in this Jeffrey's tube," and Bones is like, "Yes, I did." and they just basically wanted to recreate the scene where Kirk's covered in tribbles.
And I felt the whole show was just a setup for this.
Yeah, it's just like he's like, yeah. "What am I going to learn? What am I going to learn?
I don't know." There you go. You have trouble, or what is this?
More trouble, more tribbles.
More trouble, more tribbles. Yep. It's a fun episode. It's not anything you want to write home about and tell tell mom down on the farm.
Oh, man, you got to watch this episode. It's got a bunch of pink fuzzy things in it.
I did kind of like, I mean, I did notice there were no different color tribbles. They were all the pink, but well, I kind of liked it better that way.
Well, no, like the guy who does the coloring for the Funimation or whatever.
Filmation
that did this, he's colorblind.
Oh,
so, like, they were supposed to be gray, and the Klingon outfits had pink on them, too.
Wait a second. Which you hired to be... a colorblind colorist?
Yes.
What the hell?
We hired a guy who was colorblind, and they were supposed to be gray, but apparently pink to him was gray. And so that's why the Klingons also have pink in their outfits instead of gray, because the guy didn't know the difference.
That explains it.
I really have to wonder what's going on in the management of Filmation at this point.
I wonder.
In 1973.
I wonder if all those pink tentacles are supposed to be gray in Agmar and me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I love that episode art that I made for it. I made the background pink, so all the all the tentacles blended in with like the edges of the border.
Right.
And it looked like a lot of hentai, so it was a lot of fun.
Well, I. That's the only reason you liked it. I did like that we got to see Cyrano Jones again, and that Cyrano Jones did not take 17 years to be on a on K-7.
And it was awesome that he was voiced by the original actor,
right.
Which doesn't happen very often in the original series cartoon, especially since they didn't even get the Chekhov back.
Right.
They put that weird lizardy red alien up front.
I forgot his name. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, he's... I kind of like him in just for someone different.
Yeah, so there's like more alien diversity on the Enterprise. It's kind of nice to see.
I shared you that YouTube video of the guy who does Cyrano Jones, Stanley Adams. He was on an episode of Lost in Space as well, where he plays a giant talking carrot in the Great Vegetable Rebellion.
It's so awful.
Yeah, you can YouTube this.
How did this get made?
Well,
I bet the actor was like, oh my gosh, I wish I was doing Star Trek right now.
Lost in Space.
Gotta be what he was thinking.
You know, it's weird because I used to watch Lost in Space a lot, and it's very hard for me to watch now because they do put reruns on sometimes. But it's definitely it's a different show than Star Trek. It's not as high-minded.
I never watched the Lost in Space show. I saw the 90s movie reboot they did of it, which, like, it was, like, terrible, except the first half was kind of good, and the second half was really terrible.
Right.
So it did away all the good that the first half did.
I like they had Joey in it from Friends.
I liked the whole Gary Oldman movie. I thought it was a pretty good spinoff for what the show had been.
It's a good reimagining of it. The thing I liked about the original Lost in Space that it was always sort of like that serial where you just like, you know, you go to a different planet, there's a different, you know, encounter, and there's, you know, but it's always like the same thing goes on. It's almost like because they have the doctor and the robot and they're kind of in cahoots and they're always like kind of screwing over the Robinson family and stuff. I don't know. Anyways.
It was a little bit too, like, daddy-issued for me, like, in the story. Like, that's what kind of, like...
Well, that's the thing, is that the Lost in Space was... It was a family out in space, and it was supposed to be, like, you know, take your family out in space.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but it just... I mean, like...
The family camping trip in space.
Yes, exactly. Except you're lost.
But the opening
which
was cool.
Which dads are often are on camping trips. I don't know where I am.
Well, they won't tell you this.
No.
Yes.
I love the design of the ships, how, like, they had the cockpit and the ship, like, rotated around it, kind of like a B-wing. Like
that
the beginning
beautiful.
Was really cool. Like, you know, it set up for a good story, and then, like, as soon as they landed on a planet, that's when the story, like, that's when the movie didn't get as good for me. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of fun in action up until that point, and then it just kind of slowed down.
I actually came across a box of old drawings when I was, like, 7, 6 years old, and I used to make little handmade comics of all things, and there was actually a comic about Lost in Space.
Nice.
Because I used to watch it so much, and it's, you know, it's very crudely drawn. But it's anyways. So yeah, so that's interesting.
Draw a giant carrot.
I did not involve the Great Vegetable Rebellion in that one.
Poor Cyrano Jones.
Right. Yeah. So fun for little things. I like Kirk's kind of strategic maneuvers to try to defeat the Klingons in this. I thought that was just well thought out by the writers. Like, okay, have them have the ships ram. You know, I thought, wow, okay.
That's kind of cool.
That's like he's going to willing to take that risk with the ships.
Ramming speed!
Yeah.
Doodle Worf.
Yeah.
Using Klingon He invented Klingon tactics. And then Worf and the Klingon stole them.
Yeah, right. And then I like that he obviously used the tribbles to his advantage.
Yeah, you know. Beam them over to the ship again.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice seeing it. It looked like they were in the engine room because the engine, it looked like the engine from the motion picture a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
In the Enterprise.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. I was really into that aspect of it, that, you know, Kirk is still, you know, good at being captain, even though it's kind of a weird episode. I really wish that we would have saw Sherman's planet. I really want to see.
I want to see how bad this place looks.
I want to see like a bunch of people with like, you know, their ribs.
Forks.
Yeah, their ribs are showing because they haven't eaten in so long. And I don't know. I want to see what Sherman's planet's about.
For only a dollar, you could feed a poor defenseless person from Sherman's planet.
Won't you get
just look at this poor little child his parents.
For only a credit, you could pay to feed these children
for a week. And educate them, because they're not getting any education on how to make things grow here on Sherman's planet.
These people are dumb as dirt.
We get the really sad Sarah McLachlan song playing, too.
I will remember you.
Sherman's planet.
Will you remember me?
Please call.
Don't let yours I don't know the words.
Help a helpless child today. Call 1-800-SERMANS-PLANET.
Oh, my God.
Call 888 Sherman's Planet.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, there's something wrong with us.
Yeah, I'll say.
3 beers in, thank you.
I'm still on.
That's
my
okay.
I still haven't.
That's
finished.
It.
Yeah, I still haven't finished my first.
Get on it.
So,
starting my fourth.
How about, boy, this guy's not driving home tonight.
I'll surf home.
What? So, what were some of your thoughts on the, on this episode, other than, you know?
I thought it was interesting. I liked reading the memory off on this one, how the same writer came back and did this episode, and he actually got Filmation
mm-hmm.
to draw him as one of the transporter operators.
Yeah,
as a sight gag. And I'm like, no one knows what you look like, so it's only funny to you.
Well, it's funny to him and his friends. Like, there I am! There I am! Yeah. I mean, Filmation is very... I mean, anybody who watches the original series will know how bad Filmation was. I mean...
Yeah.
Especially back in like the 60s and 70s. I mean, you can watch the Batman Robin adventures of the 60s, and there was a Superman and there was an Aquaman one, and there and Flash too, and they are not well done. I mean, they're fun to watch as in, you know, just silliness, but you're not getting anything.
You're not getting a quality looking animated.
And the other thing is, like, there's, like, scenes in this episode where, like, they're just, like I think the opening scene after the beginning credits, like, the Enterprise is flying by, and it's just, like, the slowest tracking shot. It's like, it's a damn cartoon. Okay, we get it. It's the Enterprise.
I read they had a part where William Shatner, Kirk, had his hand over his mouth.
He does, yeah.
So that they didn't have to sync up his lips moving to the dialogue.
Yeah, it was
like,
weird.
They take all these really weird shortcuts.
It was weird that you mentioned that, because I did wonder why they put that in there. And there's another instance where...
to not have to sync up the voice so much.
No, there's one instance where Koloth actually shows up in front of the view screen, not in the view screen. So
this is quality stuff, guys.
No, Filmation was awful.
That's what I mean. Awfully.
I mean, they must have had the most cut rate. I would love to find out how
they hired colorblind people.
Yeah, they're like, I can't see reds or greens. You're hired.
No, he just can't tell pink from... He just can't tell pink. Because, well, I mean, like, there was...
But
greens
if
in the episode, Agmar was green, and then they had...
It's typical that a lot of colorblind people can't see
red. Yeah, it's red-green, but he must have had like an obscure one.
Yeah, but if it's red and green, it's just red and green. If it's a different spectrum, it's like, then there's like the blues and blacks.
Sure.
For people, for others, it's a greater extreme.
He had weird gray-pink colorblindness.
But, no, but because...
Yeah, that's more extreme. Yeah,
but pink is part of the red spectrum. It's just with less pigment.
Yeah, but he can't tell the difference between that and gray.
because it looks gray to him. The red looks gray.
Yeah, the pink did.
Yeah.
But the red shirts had red shirts. Scotty had a red shirt.
Probably because that bottle was literally.
If he can't tell the difference between pink and gray, he's going to be able to tell the difference between pink and green, or between green and red.
Right, but he can. But
red will be red for him.
Yeah,
I don't know why they would. It's so ridiculous.
We're not making fun of colorblind people. It's just that in a work that requires you to represent color,
it's got to be very difficult. The other side of it is I watching it too because I'm watching on my on high def, and I'm like. You can literally see like the dust or some kind of grain on the animation cells.
Yeah, and, there's like a film on it. It was kind of weird. It's like looking at the old static on like where the film started to get eaten or something.
Yeah,
really odd. I was like, what is that? When they see the ships, you kind of think, okay, that must be the stars, and they're moving the stars, but then there'll be like a person like just like doing something on like the ship.
You can still kind of see it.
You can see that, like, what is going on?
Well, the interesting thing is, like, I think this is the first episode that was ever converted to high definition from the animated series.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, that would make a lot more sense. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Start with episode five. As flat as a lot of the humor was for me, and that I watched it like two or three different times. The second time I watched it with my son, and he had actually watched it twice in a row.
Really?
And there's a lot of times where I'm just sort of starting to snicker, and like, okay, for example, like every single time that there was a triple in the captain's chair, he was rolling. Like,
I loved it too. I thought that was
so
funny.
I thought it was funny, especially when the captain had to move it.
I thought it was great, but his level, like, I was laughing, but he was laughing so hard he actually rolled off my bed.
That's awesome.
That's
funny. Like, I mean, he was just peels of giggles from this guy. Like, I mean, he thought it was like the greatest thing in the world, and like the whole episode was just amazing to him.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's really cool to hear, because I mean, like, I was watching this episode, I'm just like, all the words they're using, I just feel like kids are just not going to understand anything.
Oh no, got it.
Like,
they
use a lot of really difficult terminology in the show. Like, they made it so that people didn't die as often, so that it would be kid friendly, and they had weird little jokes.
Right.
But like all the writing, like the dialogue was.
I don't think
it feels like early Robot Chicken. Yeah. I hate to say it.
Yeah, right. It's
dumb humor at the early stages.
I don't think that kids, when they watch things like this, even if there's a higher minded like dialogue, I don't think that throws them off. I think they follow along with the most
of it.
They're
getting the context from the images as well as what is being said.
Right. And, you know, as long as they might not get, like, maybe the most insightful side of it, but, I mean, I think they get, like, the general idea.
They're getting what is meant for them on their level.
Right.
Well, it's like when we talked about Agmar, and the episode we called Agmar and Me, where, you know, at the end of the episode.
The Infinite Sulu's Vulcan.
The Infinite Vulcan, where Sulu's like, he's a... you're inscrutable. I don't teach things unless you're inscrutable. And he's like, you're the most inscrutable person I know. I was like, what?
What? Yeah.
Like, it was just like, I mean, just the their choice of dialogue
so
like for the animated show just seems like so much of it would go over kids' heads. They're just like, what's going on?
Yeah, the Infinite Vulcan is actually probably a far better episode to watch if you're going to watch an animated series, because it's more interesting in different ways, but
sciency.
Yeah,
this is very like you know, the writer.
This is just fun. It's silly.
Yeah,
it is, and it, they did a good job with it. And it just, you know, the writer thought it was too much of a rehash of the first one, and it was. I mean, they had Sherman's Planet, they had Klingons, they had Tribbles, they had Cyrano Jones. It was very like reminiscent of the first one, but it still had its own story, and it was still interesting and fun.
Yeah, it just seemed odd that the Sherman Planet is still in trouble.
Like, just nuke that place. Just give it to the Klingons. It's not worth it. If two different types of grains don't grow on it, just what is it good for?
Sherman
Pissing
Planet.
Off the Klingons.
Yeah, right.
What is it good
That's
for?
That's the only reason Absolutely. Why we're there. Nothing. We're passively pissing them off.
Yeah.
Just salt the grounds and make sure the Klingons can't grow anything.
Maybe
on
that's
it.
What the planet. Maybe that's what they did.
Maybe that's what Quinto Triticale is.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's definitely wonder why there was so much issue with Sherman's planet. But apparently, it did make it into the Federation. I guess later on, I was reading up on some stuff of Federation that there were next generation like small references to Sherman Planet, like on data pads and stuff like that. And so,
that's cool.
Right. Of course, nothing's really, you know, nothing's really said either way, so hard to say.
It'd be great if Sherman's planet was the planet that gets, like, destroyed, that Picard and Shatner have to, you know, try to fight over in Star Trek Generations. They're trying to save Sherman's planet from getting blown up.
Kirk's like, not again.
Oh, no.
Just let it go. Picard, let it go.
It's the worst thing if I know it's not Sherman's planet, but it would be hilarious if it was. It'd just be sad that Kirk died for Sherman's planet. Never. My biggest regret is I didn't kill Sherman's planet.
He was trying to bring the Doomsday Machine over to Sherman's planet.
Hey, can we just get rid of this one? It's not that bad. Come on.
Captain, that's completely out of the way. Just let's keep on, like, taunting it. Just keep on firing phasers at it. Had to chase us over all the way to Sherman's planet.
I'm kind of surprised the Doomsday Machine didn't come back in the animated series.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is funny because I think there's only like 22 episodes of all two seasons of the.
It wasn't very long.
It's kind of strange to think about it, is that it's that short, because I mean it's anime, so you think that there's only 22, and I've been watching them here and there, and there's some good ones and there's some not so good ones, but I do like that there's definitely a wide variety of imagination that can go very far, you know, like...
Yeah, they can definitely do stuff that, you know, that they couldn't do in the original series. Although not so much with this episode. The only thing that was really would have been hard probably would have been the Glommer.
The Glommer and the...
It would have to have been a different design.
And the robot ships.
That was so cute.
You like that Glommer.
I do. I do. It's adorable. For some reason, it's cute. Usually, I think things like that are creepy as hell. But no,
I like the robot grain ships. I just thought that was just a cool design, and they were actually the ships were pretty well drawn out here.
Yeah,
like even the Klingon D7 was actually, they had some good shots of it. Although seems like ships can't hit each other with anything. They're just firing. They're just missing everywhere.
Tracking shot of the torpedo, which is a bunch of red scrapes on the screen.
Yeah, it was another one. It's like
so bad.
And it was
they usually shot twice.
In the last, like, you know, 3 seconds, you're like, okay, how much longer am I gonna watch this? You know, it's like, I get it. They shot the torpedo.
They shot a torpedo. Yay!
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Smoove was just proud of his artwork. Had to show it off repeatedly.
Dad, can I put this part in? Sure, son.
What color is the torpedo?
It's red. I said red, not pink.
No, not gray.
That's probably why. He was like, y'all, you're his colorblind son to color.
Like, here, son, I need some help on this.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Anyways, I even read up on the director of this. Yeah, he was he worked for Filmation quite a bit. He must have been used to those budget cuts.
But they had the budget to put the writer in.
I'm sorry, we're taking your budget for the color blue. What?
No. I guess we can't have Bones very much in this episode.
Bones and Spock are out.
Red shirts are in.
Dad, which one's the red?
They're all red. I got 6 crayons here. They're all the same color.
Oh, man.
Read the label, son. It says what color it is on the label.
Dad, they had budget cuts. I forgot how to read.
They can't pay me to teach my son to read.
Oh, God, Filmation was so bad. They're hiring illiterate children.
They're hiring parents who have illiterate children who they can't afford to pay the...
We need somebody to direct this film. There's a hobo out the street. Get him. Get him in the office now. Did you ever do a cartoon? I saw a Tom and Jerry once. You're hired. Oh.
Jerry's the cat, right? They haven't given up on Sherman's planet yet. Aaron's looking at it on a memory beta, which is the non-canon stuff for Star Trek. But
it says Niels Barris lived on Sherman's planet in 2370s. And in 2374, he invited Dorman Collins to visit him there. Who's Dorian Collins. And Memory Beta, it says that Sherman's planet had approximately 3 million people in the 24th century. It looks like it says that Niles Barris lived on Sherman's planet in the 2370s. And there was a DS9 short story called Dorian's Diary. And he Dorian Collins visited him there in 2374. Says in 2376, a mysterious epidemic was unleashed across the planet, causing planetary administrator to declare martial law and impose planetary quarantine. The disease was dubbed Sherman's Plague. It was cured by a radical gene-altering treatment devised by Dr. Elizabeth Lenz.
So was this the second Sherman's Plague after the Quadratriplicately died, and then the Quintatriplicately died, and they had this? The third one that they had?
I guess. And it says that was from the book Oaths. The president of Sherman's Plant later presented Lenz with a plaque to thank her for for her help, and that was in the e-book for Wildfire, Book 1. And Sherman's Plant was one of the worlds devastated during the Borg invasion in 2381. And a singular destiny. So this planet just
don't
shits
ever
out.
Live on Sherman's wow. planet. If we ever name a place Sherman's planet, and you want to go to space, I don't care how bad you want to go to space. Say no. Never go to Sherman's planet. Nothing good happens there.
You just get shits out.
Nothing good.
Hey, I heard this wonderful opportunity. Go to Sherman's planet.
You can bring brain there.
Hashtag Sherman's planet. No.
Hashtag must don't want to go. Don't want to die.
Death planet.
It says in the 25th century, in 2409, Deep Space Station K7 was moved to orbit around Sherman's planet, possibly to in the response to the Federation
Why?
Klingon War.
Why would you do this?
So it can crash and destroy major remotely. Cities on Sherman's planet. Just so we can have another catastrophe. Oh my god.
The only thing I would set up near it would be a space station, like a science station, so I could study.
No, put a buoy next to it to stay away.
Stay away, stay away.
Yeah, there would be a buoy, and then there would be a Vulcan science vessel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're sick like that.
Oh, man, like, that's never, no,
this isn't logical.
I want to go to space. I think it'd be cool to go to space, but, you know, if we ever find a place called Sherman's Planet, I will never go there. No intention of going there.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty bad place. I mean, not only do you have to worry about, you know, Klingons just mucking things up, but then you also have to worry about the possibility of plague,
multiple famines, Borg invasions,
Niles Barris,
Tribbles.
Tribbles, yeah. Why Tribbles haven't taken over everything on Sherman's planet, that's beyond me. Maybe that's why they had the famine.
Can they die from starvation?
Maybe that's why they had the famine. Maybe the tribbles got
Why
on
can't
there.
You just eat the tribbles?
Good point.
Humans should be...
more fur than meat.
There's
you know.
More fur than meat on
It'd be
this
like a
damn
tiny
thing.
Cutlet the size of your pinky.
Well, look, you shave them and then you
no,
cook them up.
Giant, those giant ones are just a crap ton of the little ones. So.
Well, you shave them and you fry them up like chicken nuggets. You gotta get a bunch of them, but
no,
then they'll fill you up.
That's like popcorn chicken in miniature size. Yeah. It's like mini popcorn chicken.
It works.
At best. Maybe for you, but I'm hungry.
Hey.
And hungry can turn into hangry, and you don't
hangry.
Want
hangry. Talking about hangry-hungry.
Hey, if you get a couple hundred thousand, you know, tribbles, that's a lot of popcorn chicken.
That's a lot of fucking effort. I'd rather knit a sweater.
Okay, so Sherman's Plague, just so everyone knows, is basically a multiviral syndrome, which is similar to yellow fever, Ebola. Sherman's Plague became dormant in 600 BCE, but was reintroduced. Now, this is the funny part. Was introduced in the planet's biosphere in 3267 when resident Abraham Albrecht was excavating his land for installation of a swimming pool. Albrecht became patient zero, initially suffering from cold-like symptoms, then chest pains and stomach cramps, coughing, vomiting, and blood before dying of massive organ failure. So he dug for a pool and must have unearthed the disease? Does that happen?
Yes.
Can you unearth a disease?
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
There's actually there's been concerns that some of the newer strains of Ebola have been altered because of contamination.
Yeah, but from digging in the ground?
There are diseases and viruses that can live for ages that's not like bacteria.
So so I guess on the USS Da Vinci was developing a cure, Dr. Elizabeth Lenz, and she found the cure by implanting an extra chromosome in each victim's DNA so they can be kind of special.
Like Genghis Khan's children with six fingers.
Special. They glow at night?
Glowing ones.
So I guess there's people running around in Sherman's plant with an extra chromosome.
Those XXX chromosomes.
David's been playing too much Fallout 4. I caught the reference. I wasn't letting you get away with it.
Aaron wouldn't because he doesn't play games.
But I don't. Yes. I don't play games.
It's okay.
So anyways, that's Sherman's Plague that happened on Sherman's Planet. So Sherman's Planet, a hellhole of a planet.
Never go there.
Maybe it's the Organians' cheap trick.
Planet they can use for a trash site.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay there.
Oh, wow. God.
Anyway, so there we go.
At least it was a nice, nice baby.
See, you just discredited it. I was going to say, wow, you know another song.
Yeah,
that was my band's first song.
That was your band's first song?
That we learned and played as covers.
Supersonic or Semisonic or what was it?
I don't remember. I just remember the closing time.
Closing time.
Semi-Charm Final Life.
That's Third Eye Blind.
Oh, fuck. See, I'm tired.
I'll tell you what you want, what you really, really want.
Obviously, Nathan's tired.
That's Spice Girls.
Yeah, I know. Any closing words on More Troubles, guys? And Gal.
I really liked it.
The Untitled.
And I think if you want to sit down and watch a silly episode with your kids, I think it's a good one. I actually plan on watching it again with my daughter and my son tomorrow because he wants Tia to see it so he can talk to her about it.
That's cool.
Did you watch it with your kids?
I was driving him crazy.
I don't think I watched it with them. I've watched different episodes of them. They don't really like the animated series. They like the actual watching they like watching Star Trek with me, but they like the actual show.
The actual show, yeah.
I just think the animation is so poorly done.
My guys much prefer the show. It's kind of weird because Benton likes DS9 and the original series, and Tia is all about Voyager.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids.
Which I really don't like. I'm selective with which episodes she can watch with that one.
Voyager's hard because my kids like Voyager too, but I have to really watch it. What's play because it gets racy here and a couple different things happen. You're like, I don't.
And some of them are really traumatic. Like she gets upset if somebody looks like they died or anything like that. She can't handle it.
I told you when they saw Thresholds, right? I mean, when Tom Paris's tongue falls out, it freaked him out.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, and then they were freaked out that they turned into the lizards.
Yeah.
They were just, oh, my God. They're just like, yeah, when that one turns into a lizard, that's really scary. I go, yeah, we won't watch that one again.
I didn't even think about that. That's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, don't have them watch that.
And just don't put yourself through that trauma, Faith, until we have to talk about it on the show.
Okay.
Which I'm sure it'll happen eventually.
So I guess my takeaway is Tribbles must be very heavily hanging around this quadrant. Cyrano Jones must be just like dropping him off in every planet outpost and anything he can find, any moon he can sell it to. So
he says they're profitable, but how? Like they breed so quick. How do you make money on something that breeds so quick?
Right, and how do people not know?
By people paying you to take them away.
Yeah,
I guess. Here.
I got a glomer. And then
I want a glomer so bad.
And
that's
like,
my favorite thing about this episode. Like,
that's Faith's takeaway. Like, she wants the glamour.
Especially with the glamour trying to sit on the giant treble. That's what made me think of Martha Stewart sitting on the turkey from South Park.
It ran away.
And she's like, oh, it's trying to fit it in and it can't.
Right.
I like it when they he tries to stick it on it at the end and it just turns around and runs away and he's chasing after it. Yeah. I'm like, yep, that's a good ending.
Well, you know, I like how once again the Federation and Kirk's crew have sent thousands of of animals to be slaughtered by Klingons again.
Right.
Well, the other ones were just gonna die anyways, but I mean, here, yeah,
they're just Klingons are just gonna kill them. Like, I, you know, they hadn't invented the Batleth. I mean, Star Trek as a whole hadn't had the Batleth invented yet.
Right.
So they didn't have them to smack the tribbles around with that we got to see.
So that's where you get your tribble recipes from. Now that's, I know.
Klingons, it's exactly.
It's how the Klingons disposed of it.
Have you tried my tribble pie?
Have you tried tribble blood wine?
Tribble pie, anyone? Why won't you try my tribble pie?
They love drinking the blood of their enemies, especially tribbles, because they are the sworn enemy of the Klingon Empire.
How many would you have to throw in a juicer to even get one cup of blood wine?
It doesn't matter, because really. There's millions of them, so they can get lots of blood wine.
Keep pressing them in, gotcha.
Stardate something, something, something. That's a very good vintage of blood wine.
Triple pie with the racuccino, anyone? Mm. Racuccino and triple pie. I made it myself.
I think that would be the one exception of Klingon liking their food dead. Since they usually like their food
maybe
live.
They would enjoy it eating. You'd have to skin
no,
it
they,
first.
No, they'd be like, wee, 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 wee. Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like the sounds triples make.
Maybe. What the hell would be left after you skinned it? I mean, seriously, think about it.
Well, not much. That's just a little sec. It would look like a small cutlet.
Just bread them up. They'd be little chicken nuggets. They'd be awesome. Triple nuggets.
Bread up those tribbles.
I still think it's like the size of popcorn chicken.
No, they'd be like McDonald's sized chicken nuggets at least.
Yeah. You think so?
They definitely get.
They're like as big as like half a football.
They definitely get bigger.
No, I've actually got a tribble somewhere around here. They're about the size of a softball. So
would you shave off fur? They'd still be like
a golf ball sized cutlet in there.
Yeah, it's like a if you pound it out, that's about the size of a chicken.
So you say bread them.
Yeah.
Do you bake them? Do you fry them?
No,
you got to
pound them out and get them flat so that they're the size of a chicken nugget. Okay. And then you can get the dinosaur shape. And then you push them, you get the dinosaur shaped chicken nugget triples.
Right, right.
And then you bread them and then you fry them.
Use like a metal cookie cutter and just kind of like make your little shapes.
Yeah, you can make stars.
Holiday triple nuggets.
You pound them out, you make stars.
You can make little communicators.
Yeah, little communicators, little delta shields, little... Enterprises, just whatever shape chicken nuggets.
Totally.
Tribble nuggets. The San Francisco
treat. I want tribbles now because then I can make tribble treats for my glamour.
Tribble treats and your children.
Yes.
You're reminding me of the episode where the little cat. They make the cookie out of the cat, and he thinks they killed the little cat with the Looney Tunes with the dog, Mark Anthony.
Oh, God, yeah.
Remember that? The cat would go on his back, and he'd go, ooh, ee, ooh, because the cat would, knead at his back, and then he thought that his owner, the woman, she killed the cat and made a cookie out of him, and he's crying about it.
One of my favorite Looney Tunes is the flea one. There's food around the corner, food around the corner, food around the corner for me. Huh?
I guess it was just a conglomeration of all the Looney Tunes, but it was when they went to the Mysterious Island with the wishing well in it.
Oh my God, I have no idea what that one is.
I don't remember that one.
Are you serious? It's older than you.
I don't remember.
You'll have to find us a link so we can watch it sometime.
There's many things.
Yeah, no, totally,
Faith, there are many things that are older than me.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, he's older than me.
Bill Clinton's first STD.
That's much older than me.
So, you were supposed to delve into Twin Peaks after the Spaceballs episode to find out who...
Don't put me on the spot. That's a shitty thing to do. All right, let's... let's wrap this.
Thrown under. Reverse has been engaged.
I thought you weren't going to rest or sleep until you figured out who Jones was.
Dude, I have too much on my plate as it is. I will. I when I do find out, I will tell you.
We're just going to update. I'm just trying to see if we can update the listeners.
There's no update.
No update. Also, no fan emails this week. Guys, email us. We like reading your emails on the air.
I want to be able to read a letter at some point. You guys got to write something.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
We like reading your emails on the air and talking about them and answering them and just having fun the way we do.
Yeah.
Please.
Please, please, please. And that email address is sentholics@yahoo.com. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or at Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo, and our website is synthaholics.com. I am at David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackboard2004.
And you can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please go onto our iTunes site and rate and review us. Give us many, 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 many stars.
And moons.
And moons. And green and blue diamonds. And green clovers.
And words that make sense so that we can read them and hear how wonderful you like us.
And please go to the Patreon page. If you have any extra change, you can throw it our way. And please tell a friend, somebody that might like a Star Trek podcast, that might like to have something a little more fun to listen to, a little more silly than just, you know, just doling out facts. We're not going to dole out facts here. We're going to, like, ignore the facts. We're going to just put out just crazy, crazy conjecture.
Like we do all the time until we do throw out random factoids. But we do have them in the fun way.
In the fun way.
Like a glommer trying to sit on a triple.
A very fat triple.
Make it fit!
Yeah, so yeah, do that.
Anyway, live long and prosper. Thank you for listening.
You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Oh, I unplugged myself.
You unplugged the whole thing. Oh my gosh.
You're not supposed to play with that.
Oh, there we go. You're going to be editing the shit out of this. All right, should we just do our... Let's wrap this up. So you're going to have a hell of a time editing all this.
It's going to be fun, though. I mean, hell, we've apparently been rather goofy. Oh, I linked you guys that. It's Daffy Duck's Fantastic Island. This is the one I was trying to think of.
Say, did you watch that video I sent you twice?
Yes, I did.
Did you like it?
I thought it was amusing.
I was really wanting to make a reference that we record on Wednesday, and you say, well, it wasn't my worst Wednesday night. I forgot to talk about it before the episode. I'll cut this part out, but I was just like, I've watched that thing so many times.
Are you guys tripping over each other?
What?
Give me your...
I see you guys tripping over each other and laughing, which, by the way, is cute.
No, I like that one. That was a cool... video.
Yeah,
that was pretty fun. I had to keep pausing it though.
Well, I wasn't messing with the top brass. Yeah, the knocker stuff. Yeah, that was felt pretty off the books. Oh well, I forgot to talk about it before the show. I was like, oh man, we gotta make a reference to Wednesday. She's like, yeah, it wasn't my worst Wednesday ever. Are you ready?
Are you ready for some football?
Are we ready to rumble?
No.
I take that as a no.